Livewire with Jason Moyle.
Hello, I'm Jason Moyle. Welcome to Livewire. My guest on the programme today is a recording artist who's been at the heart of the British soul and R&B music scene for more than 30 years. A warm welcome to DC Lee.
Hey! Hi! Thank you. What a lovely welcome. Thank you. Hi.
That's okay. Right. So tell us a little bit. Obviously, we know about your previous career, so we're going to talk about that as well. And then we'll talk about your new stuff, because that is exciting as well, isn't it?
Very.
So let's go back to where it all started, because you started as a singer for Wham, Animal Nightlife, and also the Style Council.
That's right. Well, yes, in fact, I did start with a few people before those guys. That was when I got lucky. But they were the first people that I was lucky enough to get to work with that helped bring me to the forefront, as it were.
Okay. And then, of course, your breakthrough hit, See the Day, and the album as well, which was Silver album in 86. So how did See the Day come about?
See the Day came about... While I was in the process of working with Wham, I was involved in a solo deal with the same record company, at the time CBS, now Sony. So with See the Day, I had basically written about 4 songs to give to the record company to give them an idea of what kind of an artist I was and where I write, what kind of songs I write, etc., etc. See the Day was in that batch of songs. And that's where it first came from.
Okay. And did you know how popular it was going to get? Because it got massive. It has been covered by loads of artists as well.
Do you know, sometimes you have dreams and, you never really expect them to come true. Well, one of my dreams that have come true was the fact that this song that I wrote, and I remember writing it very well, really thinking a lot of it. I mean, you wouldn't do it if you didn't think a lot of it, but really being surprised at anybody else, So yeah, up to this day now, I mean, it almost brings a tear to my eye how proud I am of that song and what a profound effect it's had on me, the success of it. So yeah. All I can say is I'm very, very happy and very grateful.
And when you wrote it, you said that obviously it means a lot to you, but did you know what kind of impact it was going to have on other people?
No. But you see, the thing when I do anything, I never particularly think of other people, because if you spent your whole life doing that, you really wouldn't get anything done. You just do the very, very best you can do. And when I get involved in writing songs, some more than others, I've got to say, when I was writing See the Day, it had an impact on me. I was really very proud of it, but I really didn't think anybody else would be,
So you had 2 other albums, solo albums, Things Will Be Sweeter in 1994, and then Smiles, which was released in Japan in 1998.
Yes. I mean, I was always writing. The thing for me was that it was just really hard to get past a certain level of getting my music out there, but I just did I wasn't going to stop making music, put it that way. And I've got to say, those albums, not every single track, but I've recently been re-listening to those earlier albums. And there's some really, I sound like a real big head here, but there's some good tracks there. And I might have to really think about looking into maybe re-releasing, but that's just coming to my head now as you've just put this idea into my head.
So. Okay, that's good that I can put ideas in people's heads.
I might have to look into it.
And obviously we'll talk about your new material now as well, because you came back after, this is the first album, Just Something, after 26 years. So I read a little bit about how it came about, because you were in a documentary for the Style Council, and then you got on the stage with the Style Council to perform as well, and then that kind of snowballed from there.
Well, in fact, basically we performed in the documentary.
All right.
It was a very spur of the moment thing, which totally, Paul's always continuously working, Steve's always working, and Mick's always working. But the 4 of us together again just kind of really stirred something. And I think in all of us, but for me in particular, I really got the bug up. And it was like it was meant to be, because while I was thinking, you know what, this feels good, you know, being back in the studio again, and I love, you know, playing with the vocals and doing what you got to do. And I was just milling around thinking, I'd like to get back into this. And I bumped into Eddie Piller of Acid Jazz Records, who was so blown away by the documentary. And he's a massive Style Council fan anyway. And, you know, and head of Acid Jazz Records.
Yeah.
You know, so he was like, you should be making music. And I was like, you know what, I really would like to do that too. And he was like, well, come on, we're going to do something about this. And true to his word, you know, he got the ball rolling, and I didn't need asking twice, and I had a ball making this album. It was so good to be back in the studio and writing and coming up with this, and had all this stuff inside of me, you know. And I think you can really feel it in this album. It's like so full of energy, yeah, this album.
Absolutely. And it was in the Chicken Shack studio, I believe. And was it really a chicken shack?
Do you know what? I didn't even know that was the nickname of it, but I totally recognise it, because yes, Tristan has his own chickens in the back garden, which are very soothing when you're stressing out over a vocal and you want to go and calm down for a minute, and you go and stand in the garden minding your own business, and then you got some chickens like saying, hey. So yeah, pretty cool place. Really, I mean, it was, and for it's been a really long time, which sounds a bit jaded, and I don't mean to, but I forgot how enjoyable it can be to record and to work, you know, which I think was maybe one of the other many reasons why I probably kind of chilled out on making music, because sometimes it can become a bit too much like work.
Yeah. Were you writing during the time off as well? So were you writing songs as well?
Yes, I was, but not as prolifically as I would do when I know I've got a project coming up. But there's always something. I mean, I've got a phone full of memo ideas where I'm just singing all the time. It's funny, it's so funny, because I've literally just sent something to my daughter via voice message of an idea of a song, and I've just put the vibe to her, and she's in Japan at the moment with her dad and her family, her little family, because her dad's on tour out there at the moment.
Right.
And so, yeah, I've just, you know, so this is how it is. I've always got melodies and things in my head, and, you know, I reach out to different people who I think might be the people to work with when I get these melodies. So, yeah, it's always there, basically.
And also, she wrote one of the songs for the album, Everyday Summer.
She did indeed. I've just been rehearsing that with my band, and it sounds fab. But she's a great little writer. And I was looking for, I just needed another flavour for the album of what I had. And I was like, I remember that song. I remember hearing that song with my daughter. I was straight on the phone. It's quite handy when you have it in the family. Very handy. So I was like, you remember that song, Everyday Summer? Have you used it? Do you want to use it? Could I use it? She was like, yeah, Mum, you go ahead. I'm sure of it. Love her.
Brilliant. Does she sing as well as write? Or?
Oh, she's fantastic. I mean, I'm her mum, so, you know, you don't have to take my word for it, but she really is a great singer as well. But she's also a fabulous writer. You know, her writing is, I think she takes after her father in the songwriting area. Yeah, but she's also a fabulous singer, so she's got a bit of both of us.
Okay, and we've got the album coming out, haven't we, in March, which is just something. But you've already had a double A side out in November last year. Don't Forget About Love and Be There in the Morning.
That's right, yeah.
Was that kind of a forerunner for this album? You knew the album's coming up, and that, or was it just testing the water?
Yes, we were so testing the water because honestly, to be honest with you, not one of us at the record company, which is why I love them so much, not one of us could make up our minds which should be the single. So we went old school and just went double A. Let's double A it, baby. Very old school.
We still can do it, even though we're streaming and everything else, because there are still vinyl out there. And, of course, the new album, you're going to release it on vinyl as well, aren't you? Oh, limited edition.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. I mean, it's just so exciting. It really is. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the new single, Walk Away, which was written by you and, of course...
Fabulous Mick Talbot.
Yes, from the Style Council.
Yeah, I love Mick. And I remember he was... I just said to him, oh, you know, I've just signed this deal with Acid Jazz, you know, and I'm going to... I need some songs. I've only got so many and I need some songs. Have you got anything in the kitty? And he was like, he just sent a couple along. But the minute I heard that one, I was like, yeah, let's go to work on this one. And I can't believe that you got, you know, people really like this one too. I mean, to me, it was instant. I like to think it's got a bit of a Motown feel and a bit of an old school soul feel, but I kind of suspect it's got a bit of a Star Council vibe too. Yeah. Because if I listen to it, it does sound a bit like it's all right. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. I'm actually very proud of that.
It's got a spring and summery feel to it as well, isn't it? Which is ideal because the album and the single is coming out now, but the album is coming out in March. So, yeah.
We are very lucky, and I think it was, we tried to make that deliberate because I've got to say quite a few of the tracks, I think, like Don't Forget About Love, Walk Away, and a few others that you'll hear soon, they're very summery tracks, I think. So, but, you know, that's my opinion, you know, people interpret everything differently, so...
Okay.
I'm hoping that coming out in the summer is going to work.
Brilliant. And are you going to tour? Are you going to go out and do some gigs?
I would love to do some gigs. And at this particular moment, the only thing that has been nailed down, as it were, is a Rough Trade gig that I'm doing at Rough Trade East for the album launch on the 22nd of March.
Okay.
Which is already just sold out. So, but that's the first official gig. But there will be dates to follow, that's for sure.
Definitely, with festivals and things like that coming up.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. Waiting to get asked, but yeah.
Well, hopefully you'll get asked. That's
now. I'm hoping so. I'm thinking so.
Okay. So, also, how can people get in contact with you? Obviously, you've got your website and social media as well.
Yes. Yes. There's all the social media outlets. Basically.
Yeah. So just type in DC Lee. It's there. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you'll find it. No problem.
Okay, well, it's been great talking to you.
Thank you for having me.
That's fine, yeah. Would you like to introduce your new single?
I would love to introduce the single for you. So, hi, guys. This is DC Lee, and this is Walk Away.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It gets tiring when only one
Livewire is produced by Steve Osborne Media. Steve Osborne Media.